If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. And I'll start up in verse 8. Daniel, chapter 3. And I'll start reading in verse 8, where the Bible says, "Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.'" We know the rest of the story. We know that they were thrown in. We know that God intervened and that they came out. And we know that this is a great example of an individual being given a choice to do what is righteous or not, based on the word of God. And as we fast forward to today, how would this apply in our lives here in 2026? I can tell you this. I've been a Christian since I got married. I got married in 1982 in June, and we got baptized in September. So it was just a few months after we had gotten married that we discovered the gospel and we became Christians. And I've been one ever since. And as I look back over those almost 44 years, I don't think I ever perceived that my ability to worship or to believe or to conduct myself as a Christian in this country would ever be even a thought of an issue. That's what I thought then. Now, I'm not so sure. Now, I see unrighteousness and immorality advertised as righteousness and morality. And I don't have to tell anyone in this room the examples that I'm talking about. Tragically, we see them every day. One of the disadvantages, I guess you could say, of modern technology is information is instantly everywhere. Poof. And because of the way that communication and media and news and all the rest of the things that go on are communicated, those of people of faith suddenly find themselves potentially having to defend their beliefs, which to me, back when I first got baptized, I could never have imagined what I'm seeing now. But what concerns me even more is what is coming, potentially, based on what we see. Will there come a time in this country, the United States of America, where worship service is prevented, where faithful Christians are physically persecuted like these three were? And if that happens, will we be ready to stand boldly like they did? Will our perception of truth guide us, or will we be deceived by the world into thinking, well, because you know once you hear that word in that tone, you know what's coming next. That's what's in our face right now. That's what our children and our children's children and their children will be facing unless we remain strong, unless we remain faithful, unless the truth continues to be preached. Now, God's in charge, and we know how the story ends, but we don't necessarily know how the story is going to go. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were prepared either way, to be delivered or to die. Either outcome did not change their perception of what they needed to do. It shouldn't change ours either. As we seek to live a life that is faithful, as we seek to live a life that is a good example for the rest of the world, which doesn't understand what they're supposed to do, we need to remember that God has our back. We need to know that the word is true, the word is strong, and the word will guide us. And so as we go out into the world each and every day and interact with our neighbors and our friends and our families and all the other people who don't believe, remember that we're their only hope. And that if there is negativity or immorality or unrighteousness or any other nonsense that's promoted as what's right or what's true, we must stand fast. And so I encourage you all to continue to study, continue to be strong, continue to remember that God is there for you. He's there for all who have faithfully followed him. How do you do that? You hear the word, you believe, you repent, you're baptized, and then you live faithfully and righteously from that point forward. The formula is clear and simple. It may not always be easy. It may become a lot more difficult down the road. But remember what the ultimate objective is, heaven. Like Albert says, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you need to be baptized, we have a baptistry here that's full of water, ready to go. If you need the prayers of the church, we're all assembled here, ready to support you. Whatever your needs might be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to...